Because Daf Kuf Zayin, we got to the very top, and that two lines down, Kuf Zayin Amar Aleph, the Gemara says, Itamar, Achen Shechalku, two brothers who split their property up after the father died, and a bank comes and confiscates one of the properties because their father had owed money to them, so he takes away one of their lands. So the Machlokis here, Rav Amar, Batla Machlokis. He says the whole Machlokis is Batel, and you have to redivide it evenly because they both have to share in paying the debt of their father. So look at, actually we'll wait for a second to explain further. And Shmuel Amar, Vitar, he says no. Too bad. There's bad mazel for Reuven. Reuven lost his property, and Shimon has no obligation to cover the debt that Reuven's property was taken away from. That's the machlokas. Rav says, "Bala machlokas." You start all over again, and Shmuel says, "Nope, it's the bad mazel of Reuven." Comes along with Asi. Rav Asi Amar Nota Reviya Bakarka or Reviya Bemals. Rav Asi, the Gemara is going to explain, is not really sure whether we hold like Rav or Shmuel, and therefore he says Safik. So it should either be he pays a quarter of the karka, or he pays a quarter of money. Because, again, according to Shmuel, if Shimon owes nothing, according to Reuven, according to Rav, rather, Shimon owes half the amount. That's the fair amount. So since Rav Asi is unsure, he says, let's take half a half, of course, since it's a suffix, and you would only have to pay a quarter of either a quarter of the revia of a karka, or a revia of bimos, a quarter, the value of the money. So the Gemara explains, what exactly is the machlokas here? So Rav Amar, Batla Machlokas, the entire Machlokas is Bato, and you have to redo the division of the karkas. Kesavar Ha'achin Shechelku Yorshinim. We view the brothers, when they divide the property, we view them as Yorshin. We view them as still somehow the father, there's still a string attached to the father and the entire estate. And as a unit, they have to take on equally the debt that's owed. So just look at the Rashbam here. Rashbam says, if you go down to the few medium wide lines there in the Rashbam, it's the third one, Yorshin Havu, Taras Yorshin Yeshalem, Lifroa Bain Kulan Chovas Avim. They have the obligation as brothers in Yorshin to pay their father's debt equally. There's a bit of a debate whether it's a chiv on the karka or it's a chiv on the sons themselves, but Rashbam says it's a chiv on them as the individuals to pay. The Taz seems to say it's really a chiv both on the property and on the individuals. The Mishum Rashbam says, the Mishum Chaluka lo istaluka mikarkar didei mibalchov davuam. Just because they divide the land doesn't mean that the bank is now his ownership, his lien no longer exists. So therefore, we say that they have to split it evenly and then they redivide the property fairly. Because the sphere lay, le rav yesh breira. That rav holds is such a thing as breira, which is huvra hadavar shezacha kol echad b'chelek haro'ilo. Breira means that whoever gets which property, that indicates that was always, that should have been theirs. That once the bank confiscates property, that becomes clear that that shouldn't have been Reuven's, that shouldn't have been Shimon's, so now they're able to redivide the property, b'nimsa delo lakka zemizeh klum. And once we redivide everything, we don't view it as if Shimon's property was taken. Once we redivide it a second time, that becomes clear that that really should have been Reuven's the whole time, and that should have been Shimon's time property. So even though the Gemara here doesn't address Breira, the Rashbam brings in Breira based on other sugyas of what's going on here. So that's really the underpinning here of if you assume it's Yorshin, that assumes it's Breira, and you can redivide things. Then the Gemara says, that's all she does, Raf. Shmuel Amar Vitar. He says, no, when Shimon has his land confiscated, Reuven's not obligated to help out, because Kasavar Ha'achin Shechelku Lekuchos Havu. They are considered owners. We're completely separate. My property is mine. Your property is yours. Too bad they confiscated your land. I've got no obligations to you. Ukilokeach Shelo Ba'achrayos Dami. They're similar to people who buy property without having any responsibility on that property, and therefore Reuven walks away and says, it's your bad mazel, don't come chasing after me. So the machlokas is whether or not you view the Yorshin as Yorshin Havu, or they're viewed as Lekuchen, and the new buyers, and we don't look at the history at all. Then the Gemara says, according to Rav Asi, Rav Asi Misapkali, he's not sure. E Yorshin Havu, E Lekuchos Havu, he doesn't know how to paskin. Hukach, therefore, no to revia bakarka or revia b'maos. So therefore, you're either going to pay a quarter, because a mamon amuta basafi. Let's say they take $100. So there's a question, does Reuven now owe $50 of that? So those $50 is what he potentially should owe. So he's not sure if he's chai the 50. So But since that was those $50 is mamon hamutal basafek, therefore he says chalkin, and you only pay 25 of the dollars, whether it's bimaos or whether it's going to be in a karka. So there's a discussion here. I thought Ricky was going to ask this question. He oftentimes asks this question: why do we say mamon hamutal basafek chalkin? Don't we always paskin amotzi mechaver alav haraya? Yeah, so where's Ravasi? What?
That's Ravasi.
Some say Ravasi paskins.
Like
exactly. So some say Ravasi paskins like Sumchus. So he holds a mamon hamutal basafek chalkin. That is his shita. That's what Rashi writes in Baba Kama. But Tosis there in Baba Kama says no. Everybody agrees. Even Sumchus would agree in this case. I'm sorry, even the Chachamim would agree in this case that a mamon hamutal basafek chalkin. You wouldn't say a motzi mechaver alav haraya in this case. Why not? The only time you say a motzi mechaver alav haraya is only a situation where the safek comes about because of a taina that we said. Then, am I right? Are you right? So then we'll say a motzi mechaver alav haraya. But when the safek is nothing to do with what I said, we're just in terms of din. Are we lekuchos? Are we yorshin? Nothing to do with my tainas. Just how do you paskin? That's a type of safek where even the chachamim would agree. You would say a mamon hamutal basafek chalkin like shita sumchus. That's how Tosus understands this.
The outstanding, the money that they owe the money.
No, that I owe the money. I don't know.
The father,
but that's not me. I'm a lekuchos. I've got no shaykhus here at all.
So
since this is a safek, that's not based on our tainas, but it's a safek based on just the metzias, had a paskim. And so then, in this case, even Chachamim would agree, mamon hamutal basafek chalkin.
That's called drawer de mamona?
I'm not sure if Tosus views it as drawer de mamona, but would that be a similar case to where the Gemara's Ba Metzia talk about? There's some instances where everyone would agree, mamon hamutal basafek. If there's tfis also. Now, even in the case of Shnayim Ochsim Batalis, so why don't we say Motzi Mechaveir Alav Haraya? Because Shnayim Ochsim Batalis, we both have an equal tfisa, so there are many times where Chachamim agree, you say Chalkin. So this would be another example. So I'm suggesting maybe the fact that it's Dura de Ramona, which itself is a whole other machlokas. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Dura de Ramona means there's tainas involved. So that really, I don't know if that would stim well with this. We're saying dafka when there aren't tainas is when you say Yachloku. But okay, either way, this goes on the list of examples where Chachamim agree that you would say Yachloku and don't say Motzi Mechaveiro Alav Haraya.
And Rav would hold, like, for life, this, or there is a period where it's over?
There's a whole discussion how you view Yovel, but seemingly it would be for life.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, the Yovel.
Yeah, so if you look at, Rashbam talks about the case of Yovel. Oh, we'll get there and they discuss it now. He mentioned it somewhere. But the idea by Yovel would be as follows, that for Lukuchos, that you always have to return back Lukuchos or only until Yovel. So according to Rav, who holds its, Shmuel, who holds its Lukuchos, then you would have to redivide it every 49 years. According to Rav, who says Yorshin don't have to divide it. So according to Rav, it's actually forever even through Yovel, Yorshin are going to be Yorshin forever. So if you look now on the top of Tosos, Dibramaschul Uva Balchov Vitaraf Chelkel She'echamiham. The bank comes and takes one of the properties away. Vim Tomar Heyach Taraf Kol Chelkel She'echamiham. How is it fair that he only takes one of the properties away? Like Rashbam says, they all have an equal obligation to pay back their father's debts. Vi told me, pay, take 50% from this and 50% from that guy. As we'll see in a couple weeks from today, that they take out the debt that your father owns, so the Bechor pays the double and everyone else pays an equal share. So how come here they're not splitting it evenly? How come Reuven's getting the Balchov to take it away? So answers Tosos v'yeshlomar the hachamari could go into asa aputiki, where they set aside in the shar that this land that's in that section is going to be aputiki. That's why he's Reuven not obligated to take part in the debt. No, that goes again. That's what happened. So now the question: how do we respond to it? The bank has the rights to this property.
Right.
And now, what responsibility does Reuven and Shimon have to do? Depends whether the lekuchos or yorshin.
You can see Breira both sides. You can see Breira in a way that it's clear that none of them should have had it because he went back. And you can say Breira, listen, it's clear. This guy had the bad luck, right? I mean, once you
went
to Breira, you can see.
I think the idea of Breira is the more you Breira, the more leeway we have. Whatever change happens, we can always view that as being the way it was supposed to be in the beginning. That allows us more leeway for Breira.
So the most little with the
always redoing it. Because whatever he gets in the end is always what he should have had in the beginning. Right. So even though it's going to change and adjust and stuff over time, that's always called Breira. So now the Gemara says, what's the bottom line? How do we paskin? So Amar Papa Hilchasa Bechol Hani Shmeitza. These Shmeitzas, Rashbam will explain, Bekamtsin. Bekamtsin, remember we said we keep the property, but you take away each part, each land. So let me just look at the Rashbam here to say what's going on here. Rashbam around 15 lines up from the bottom, Bechol Hani Shmeitza Bekamtsin. Bishnei Achen Shechalku Balahen Ach. This was yesterday's daf. Two brothers split. They ignore the third brother. And then Levi shows up and says, what are you guys doing? I'm also a brother. And the case of our case here, or two brothers and the bank takes away one of the properties, our case today, both of these sugyas, you take part of the land away equally. You leave it as is, and the kiyarshin dami, they're viewed as yarshin, they get what they get. So it sounds like you are redoing the properties to a certain extent, but you don't take lotteries. You don't. What I think the Rashbam is saying here, there's no real bit of machlokas. What it means is, I got my property, you have your property, now the third brother comes, you take away part of mine, a third of yours, you give it to Levi. And in the case of the bank, so your property was taken. So I still keep my property. We don't start everything over again. I just give part of my property to you. That's what Mekamsin means.
To work afterwards. Let's say there's six brothers, seven brothers. He's got to work on six different properties.
Whatever it is, yeah, whatever it is. You always Mekamsin. What Rashbam is saying, you don't do Butla Machlokas entirely and start all over again with the Gora. I get my property. I just have to make Mekamsin, gather together, use some of the property. Whether it's two, six, eight, 15 brothers, that's the din. Okay. Then comes along a Meimar. A Meimar Amar, Batla Machlokes, Vehilchasa Batla Machlokes. He thinks Batla Machlokes entirely, and then it sounds like according to this, you would have to do a new Goral, and you start all over again, and according to the simple understanding of Rav, Batla Machlokes, which again would be making the assumption that the Yorshin are considered like Lekuchos, Yorshin rather, like Yorshin. So there's a steer in the Rambam they point out. The Rambam writes, when it comes to Hilchos Yovel, that when brothers split up the property, and then Yovel comes, we say, Batla Machlokes. I'm sorry, we're not Yovel. In the case of brothers splitting up, and a bank comes and takes one of the properties away, Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Nachlos, that we say, Batla Machlokes, which sounds like we paskin that the Yorshin Dami. But the problem is, when it comes to the case of Shmita V'Yovel, Rambam paskins that they're Lekuchos, and each Yovel you have to redivide the property. So on one hand, he says, by the case of the Baal Chov coming, they're Yorshin, we say Batla Machlokes, but the case of Yovel, he says Lekuchos, and that seems that is a stira. So the Achiezer answers as follows, he says, really, he paskins that they're Lekuchos Dami, they really are Lekuchos, and that's why every Yovel you have to redivide the property. So how come by the Baal Chov case, when he comes and takes my property, I have to give in? I say, I bought it. Don't get away from me. This is your property. So the answer is that based on the Gemara B'Metzia, that Achrayos is Tau Sofer Dami. The person doesn't write in the document that there's a Achrayos here, that if my land gets taken away, it was given. It should have been there. It was a mistake that it wasn't there. So he says differently, even though the Gemara here says that the Lekuchos Shelo B'Achrayos, that I'm not responsible with your property, I bought mine and you, tough luck. The Rambam assumes that it's Lekuchos B'Achrayos, where I'm viewed as a Lekuchos, but if your property gets taken away, I have a level of Achrayos, and I would have to pay back some of that debt and share in the debt.
He says that when there is a Yerusha, one should write to the other that they are Achrayos. Is that what you're saying?
No, when it comes to Yerushos, so there's no issue of Achrayos here. Right. It's complete, but the Rambam paskins that they are like Lekuchos. So I'm Lokeach, and you're Lokeach, and if the bank takes your property, I have no responsibility because I bought my land. We're two different lands. There's a big wall between the two of us.
I understand that, but the fact that they're brothers, there's no star between them.
Because there's no star at all.
Right.
Why shouldn't there be a star because they're brothers?
That's just, there could be, but there's no need for one.
But
either way...
We're not talking about inheritance now.
Inheritance. Okay. But the question is, so is there a sense of responsibility that I have for you and you have for me? And the Gemara says, no, we don't view that there's any responsibility, where it's viewed as two separate properties and no shaychos to each other. But the Rambam's mechat, at least Achiezer's understanding of the Rambam is that, no, we're viewed as lekuchos be'achrayos, even though there's no document that says that, since we hold Achraios as a Tel Sofer, then no one would ever write a document without having Achraios involved. So we assume that there is Achraios here, and that I am responsible, and you're responsible for mine, if a bain comes along and takes away. And really, that's the sheet that's the Rambam. Okay. Gemara now says the two dots around 10 lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. Shloshe sheyardu l'shum echad, l'shum. If the three people went down to assess a property, the Rashbam's case here is if it's nichse yisomim l'mazon ha'isha v'abanos. It's a property owned by the orphans. The father died, and now the widow and the daughters need some food. So you send the Bezdin down of three to assess the property in order to sell it and have some money to support the widow and the daughters. So now the three come down. They start assessing the property. And Echad Omer Bimana, one thinks it's worth 100. Bishnaim Omer Bimasayim, one thinks it's 200. Echad Omer Bimasayim, and the other one says Masayim as well. So two say 200, one says 100. So the lach is... Again, where's the case here?
Two cases. One says
100, two say 200. Echad Omer Bimana, Shaim Omer Bimasayim. Another case. Echad Omer Bimasayim, Bishnaim Omer Bimana. The din is, but the Yachid b'miyuto. The Yachid, two versus one, two always wins, and Rashbam invokes the pasuk l'achrei rabim lahatos. We always follow the rope. Okay, pretty basic. But let's take the case now. Now you have to know, just keep in mind, that there's a relationship now between using me'ah versus the slime here, where the Rashbam quotes the machlokas here. A mana is 100, but also equals 25 slime. So the ratio is 1 to 4. So 100 is really 25, and 80 is really 20. So keep the 1 to 4 ratio in mind now.
Yeah,
you have the parentheses. Read the parentheses. Okay. So you can do that, or do a quick math. I think we'll divide by 4, multiply by 4. So Echad Omer Bimana, 100, which we're going to say is 25. Echad Omer Be'esim, this 20. Echad Omer Be'shloshim. So that's 25, 20, and 30. The loch is nidam bimane, which is another way of saying 25. You always go with the 25. That's the medium. That's the average. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, nidam betishim. He comes out with a different pshat. He says tishim, which is between the 80 and 100, of course, between the 20 and 25 mark, he says. In some it's like 22 and a half. So that's his opinion. And the Gemara is going to explain this. And Achaim Omer, osin shuma b'neim u'mishalshin. He says that you do an assessment between them and you divide it in thirds. So it doesn't mean you divide it in thirds. So look what the... let's read through some of the Rashbams here. Rashbam say... let's go with the Rashbam of... Tishim Dinar. Bitzadi Dinar. You see that one? It's five lines up from the bottom. Bitzadi Dinar. So what's the opinion? Why is that? We understand the first opinion why you pay 25 because that's the average. One says 20, 25, and 30. 25 makes sense. So why would you pay 90? So Rashbam explains, B'tishim dinar, min chamesh shloim, sheish bein shnaim hapchusim. It's according to Gemara, we'll see. You take the two lower ends, the 80 and the 100. We ignore the 120 for now. 80 and 100 you look at. And the average of that is, lokin chati dahainu yid dinarim, mosifin al shel shmonim. You take the average of 80 and 100, and you get 90. That's how you get the 90 opinion. And then the next Rashbam, Osin Shuma Beneim Umishalshin, according to Acherim, you make an assessment and then you divide by three. What does that mean? Kolomar, Choshvin Bekama Chalukin, see how much there the difference is between all of them. Dehainu, Arbaim Dinar, Sheesh Bishloshim, Yoser, Meosa Shamar Esrim. So between 30 and 20 is another way of saying 80 and 120. 80 is the lowest, 120 is the highest, so that's a difference of 40. And me'osin arbam, those 40, the two extreme cases, tidon b'shlish, divide that by 3, which is going to go give you 13 and a third now. 40 divided by 3 is 13 and a third. So now, d'hainu shloshi also dinar u'shlish, dinar al shmonim, you add that 13 and a third on top of the 80. So you end up paying 93 and a third is the assessment.
And why not pay a third?
So he said you take the extremes and you divide evenly because since there are three opinions here.
So if there are five opinions, they're divided by five?
Seemingly, it would be divided by... That's what I would imagine, yeah. Wow. That's what I would imagine. But again, let's keep it simple for now. So this is the basics of these three opinions, and the Gemara is going to elaborate. So now the Gemara says that the last three lines of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph.
Yeah. Shuma is always three because it's because of a basin, or it's nothing to do with it?
You know, because of Bezin, it's always three, but let's say you could always have more than three if you want. It has to be at least three. So I guess in that question, Dr. Smart, can you have 8, 9, 10, 11? Usually you have to have a base and shakel, which means ain't base and shakel. You can't have an equal one. It has to be uneven. So I would imagine you could allow for more, but maybe the law is maybe only 3 is allowed. I don't know.
The Rashbam says, ain shumas base and pachas migimel.
Which sounds like you could have more than 3. But it would have to be at least an odd number, I think. Okay. There is one case where we allow an assessment to be even number. That's the Mishnah in Megillah. Says that when it comes to assessing a property, karka that's hektesh, you could have 10. Based on psukim, you have 10. One to kohen, and the other 9 don't have to be kohanim. And Tosas asks, how come there's no ace, don't we say ain based in shakel? I think he answers it's a gzeres hakasav. That's the only example where there's an even number. But other than that, it always has to be an odd number.
Which is interesting, because in this case, if you divide it, it doesn't make a difference whether it's shakel or not.
Exactly, it doesn't make. Yeah, just you take an average.
Nobody's.
Okay. There's a Tosin and Rashba there. I don't remember what they say, but they talk about that case of having an even number of people assessing a property for Hektish. Okay. So look at the Gemara now. The last three lines of Amun Aleph, the Gemara says, Man de Amar, the one who holds Nidon Bimane, you judge it with a mana, so then Milsa Mitzyasa. That makes sense. That's the middle ground. The mana Ma is 100. It's between 80 and 120. It's also 25, which is between 20 and 30. Look at the Rashbam here. There's the last line in the Rashbam here, Vinir Be'enai. If it's 20, 28, and 30, you'd always go the 28. It would be the there's always the medium versus the mean. So he assumes it's the median, the middle approach, even though it's not the average. But the Rambam argues and says, no, you always take the average. So in this case, it wouldn't be 28. You add them up together, you'd probably get 26 to 27 or so. That would be the average, even though no one actually says 26 to 27, but you have to take the mean according to the Rambam, while again, the Rashbam says you take the middle suggestion.
The median.
Okay, the median versus the mean. Okay, right? This is the Rashbam's the median, and the Rambam's the mean. Okay. The Gemara says now, Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Nidon Betishim. How does he get 90? We have 80, 100, 120. So where does he get 90? It should be 100. That makes sense, the average. So Kasavar Ha'ara Tishim. So he thinks, really, this property is really worth Tishin Shava. It's really worth 90. Behind the Kamar Esim, the guy who says 20, which is another way of saying 80, the Katai Esara Lachare. He was off by 10. People are always, there's always a margin of error. Behind the Ka'amar Man, the guy who says 100 was Katai Esara Lachame. He jumped, he was 100 over. And so that's why we say 90. So we ignore the third guy completely for some reason. We ignore the 120 guy. 80 and 100, it must be they're off by 10. Let's take the average, 90. Gemara says, what do you mean? I'm saying the opposite. Hi, Aramea Ve'amea. Say the property is really worth 110, right? Mea Ve'asara, Shavia. That's really worth 110. V'hai the Kamar Man, the guy who says 100, Katai Asara, he's off by 10. Lachare, he's 10 below the actual value. Behind the Kamar Shloshim, the guy who says 30, which is another way of saying 120, Katai Asar, he's off the Kame, he's off too high by 10. Nakit Mias, so that's the Shada. So why are we taking the two lower amounts, take the two higher amounts, and take 110 as the average versus 90 being the average? So the Gemara answers, Nakit Mias, Tre Kamai Biadech, hold on to the two lower amounts, Dimitoras Mana Lomafkile. So unclear what this Gemara means, literally speaking here. But in essence, the Rashbam says, you look at the Rashbam, around halfway down the narrow lines, Nakit Mias Tre Kamai. Hold on to the two lower evaluations. Kolomar. Kemadika Lameimar Hachi Vikalemar Hachi. Since you could say it's worth 90 or it's worth 110, because the Gemara couldn't fathom, if it was 110, why would a guy be saying 80? It's so off the mark. And if it was 90, so the 120 guy is so off the mark. There's one guy who's outside the bell curve. So one guy is completely off the mark. Being off 20 is too much. So to say it's 100, and one guy is 120, one guy is 80, people are not that off the mark. So a 10 is an understandable measure. So we say it must be 90, one guy's off 10, 80, one guy's off 10 above, 100. 120 guy was completely out of the picture. He didn't know how to assess properties. So why do we do the 90 versus the 110? Because since you could take either way, yesh lanu leilach achar shnayim hapchusim, it makes sense to go off after the two lower amounts. The mitaras mana lo mafkile, klomer, Shilafid divrayim, according to the two lower amounts, yesh lanu lomar shekarv lomana, 90 is pretty close to 100, shavit, v'lo mana bechla, but not actually 100. V'lo achar tre basar, we don't go after the two higher amounts, shomim yosim mimana, that's going above 100. Why? The tafsis meruba lo tafsis. If we have the option of picking a higher amount or picking a lower amount, we always invoke this concept of we always tafsa mugos lo tafsas, tafsas mua tafsas. We don't go for the higher, we always go for the lower, and that's why we're preferring the 90 over the 110. Okay, it doesn't read so smoothly in the Gemara here, but that's how the Rashbam understands this sugya. So that explains the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, why 90 is the amount we're saying for the property. Now, what about the Acherim, who said it's 93 and a third? So the Gemara says, Acherim Omrim, Osin Shuma Beinayim U'Meshalshin. You do an overall assessment of the extreme amounts, the 80 versus the 120, which is a total of 40, and you divide that 40 by a third. So, Meshalshin Kasavri, Hayara Tishim Vitlasa Vitilsa Shavya. So he thinks the property is worth 93 and a third. Hi, the Kamar Esim, the guy who says 20, which is, in other words, a way of saying 80. Katai Tleiser Vitilsa Lacharei, he was a 13 and a third below the amount. That's how much he could understand a person being off the mark. Behind the Kamar Mon, the guy who says 100, cut, this is an interesting line now, so it really should be 96 and two thirds, right? A 13 and a third above. Hide the Kamar Mon, why did the guy say 100? He's only 6 and two thirds above that. So hide the Kamar Mon, Katai Tleiser Vitilsa Lakame. He was off the mark 13 and a third. No, he wasn't. He said 100. He should have said 106 two thirds. Hope everyone's with me in the math here. So Bedin Hu Dilema Tvei. He really should have said more. He wanted to say 106 and two thirds was the value. Ah, Bahai Dilo Kamar, why didn't he say that? Kasalak Savar Mistari de Kamatvina Kulhai Achavre. He didn't want to go that much above this friend who said 80. For him to say 106 and two thirds, that's a little bit too off the 80 guy. So therefore, he went down to 100, which just seems a little bit more reasonable in the area of what his friend had suggested.
It's not very clear
tomorrow. No, not at all. Now, look at this, and on top of that, the Rashbam, look what the Rashbam asks on this approach here. The Rashbam says, the last narrow line of the Rashbam, Ubedin hu dilema, deshavya tvei mana v'shisha dinar dahayinu yud gimel shlish yasei al shavya. He really should have said it's 106 and two-thirds. It's enough to go 20 above the 80. The guy said 80, I'll go up 20. 26 and two-thirds is pushing it, even though I really think that's a true value. So I'll go up only 20. Shechaver omer pei shmonim, who omer mana. So v'yafa pishen anu yodim eza divar rishon. We don't know who spoke first. Maybe the guy should have said 106 two-thirds first. So then the other guy would have said 86 and two-thirds. So how come it's 80 and 100? So this is an interesting line now. Afil hachi, nosev nosem bedavar, kalechad yodei ma belibo shechaver. Everyone knows what his friend's thinking. After they're talking about the property, they now establish in their own minds what they think. They didn't say what they think, but I made my decision. You made your decision. Since he knows, he knows what the guy's going to say. Just he understood the way the guy was analyzing it. He figured that guy, I'm going to peg him for 80, even though he didn't say 80 yet. So Rashbam is just trying to explain, even though the guy said 100 first, because he knew the guy was going to say 80 first. How? Yodea masha belibo chaveru he holds, which is, again, a very hard concept to understand. That's the sheet of the Rashbam.
No, it's like a Supreme Court judge lab. They only know. They know their opinions.
Yeah, but it's hard to understand that when it's a quantitative decision as opposed to a certain position.
They do this every day, so they know.
Could be, so then they should have got a little bit closer to each other. Either way.
Also,
so
it seems that the Beis Din wanted to deflate the market prices, not to increase, because that's where they take the two lower. They don't want house prices to be...
I think it's from the Yisom, and they wanted to make sure that's going to be sold. They didn't want to put a price that nobody's going to buy, I think.
That kind of explains a little bit here.
But
the Rashbam says we just have this.
You want to make sure that they get
more money. They do, but if it's too high, nobody's going to buy.
So Rashbam says it's just a klal, tough smoothers, low toughs, there's no svara. It's a klal, we have higher, lower, we always go for the lower. Could be there are different reasons in the Rishonim. That's a simple reason not.
Kind of explains that they want to make sure that they're going to get the money.
Right. But then you wouldn't need Tavs and Meruba anymore. Once it's to put out in the sale, that's a different Svara.
Right.
But this is a very typical Gemara. Okay. Fine. Let's go Vayitin. Now, the Gemara says we are three wide lines down the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ah, the Rabba. Say the opposite. Hi, Ara Meyav, Tlesar, Tlasa, Shavya. Maybe the property is really worth 113 and a third. And hi, the Kamar Mana, the guy said 100. Katai, Tlesar, Vitlosa, Lachora. He went 100 because he was off the mark by 13 and a third. V'hai dekamar shloshim, the guy says 30, which is 120. Tatzleis v'tzlas l'kamah, he was also off the mark 13 and a third, so he should really be saying 126 and two-thirds. U'vedin hu dekamar tzvei, he really should have given a higher assessment. But Sabra, he felt, he doesn't want to go so off the above 20 from his friend who suggested 100. So the Gemara says, no, we're going for the 93 and a third versus the 113 and a third, because take the two smaller amounts, same idea before, that tafsis mu below tafsis, tafsis muat tafsis. We always go for the lower amount, and that's the explanation of the Acher.
That's different than the Svar we said before, isn't it?
How so?
When we said before, Mishalshin, didn't the Rashbam say that we look at how different they are and then we took a third of the difference?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're saying now. We're saying we take the two opinions that are the lowest, and because you can make a 13 and a third difference between then that's why we'll go. But it's nothing to do with...
No, but how do you get a third... So I think the Rashbam is saying... I don't think the Rashbam is saying that 13 and a third is always going to be the margin error. We figure out the margin error, it depends on each land. So we look at the extreme amounts, and we take the third of that difference, and that will tell us what is the margin of error for this particular property. As opposed to, I think, for the first opinion, it's no 10 is always the set amount of what people are off by.
Right, but I think what you're asking is why division in three makes up a margin of error. There's no relationship with one.
No, because there are three people, three dayanim.
Right. When you read the Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara understands 13 and a third is like a reasonable margin of error. When in reality, it's being dictated by how far the two extremes are from one another.
Which would make sense. If you're figuring out a bell curve and you have different people on the extremes, so I would you would take them into account as well. You wouldn't ignore them. I hear both of them. Sometimes you'd say,
the
no,
Gemara
they're...
The Gemara doesn't read that. That's all. They don't
right, I agree. Read the Gemara doesn't say that. It's a chiddush of the Rashbam, probably. But it could be that 13 and a third is so arbitrary. How else did you come up with that? 10 is a set amount. So that I could understand. So maybe the Rashbam felt that it must have been calculated by the figuring out the extremes. Happens to also work perfectly with the examples given. So I agree. Even though it's not in the Gemara, that's the Rashbam's Chiddush. How do you paskin? So the Gemara says the last few lines before the Mishnah here, Amar Rav Huna Halacha Kacherim. We paskin like the Acherim, which is again the 13 and a third, the division of the difference divided by 3. So comes along the Gemara now. Amar Rav Ashi, Taima D'Acherim Lo Yadina and Hilchaz Avdina and Kavasayu. We don't understand the reasoning of the Acherim, even though the Rashbam told us what it was. Exactly right. So the Gemara says, Tanu Dayane Gola, Dayane Gola, they paskin osin shuma b'neim mishalshlin. They paskin like the Acherim, that we take the, we make an assessment and we divide it by 3. So that's how the Rashbam got it, because it says mishalshlin. That's where the Rashbam got it. We didn't make it up. So Amar Rav Huna, Hilchasak Dayana Gola, we paskin like Dayana Gola. So again, Amar Rav Ashi, Taima the Dayana Gola Lo Yadina and Hilchasav Dina Kavasai, we don't even get them, we're in a paskin like them. So it ends off in the Tzarchiyin, and there is no notation here at a paskin, at least not on this page, maybe not in Aleph it was. It sounds like from the previous page, from the Ein Mishpat, we paskin actually like the first opinion, that we go with the average or median, I'm not sure. Machlok is a mean or median, but we pass like the first opinion according to the Amin Aleph and the Ein Mishpat. Okay, let's go back to
that. So bottom line, there is no explanation for this reason.
Right.
Because it makes no sense.
Right, it could be.
That's the way
right.
They use
the rule.
Right.
No, because like you said, let's say there were 5, then you add the 5, right. Then you're pushing price even lower.
Right.
So,
makes no...
Right.
Made no sense to us, I guess. Okay, according to Dayan and Gola, they understood it, but... You know, our simple understanding of math and assessments, we're not holding that parsha. Okay. The Mishnah tells us now, the new Mishnah. Ha'omer l'chavero, chatzi sadeh, ani mocher l'cha, mishamnim b'neim, v'notel chatzi sadeh. The guy says, I'm going to give you half my property. You make an assessment, and you give a guy half the property. Chatzi b'darom, the guy, I'm going to give you half of the southern part of the area. And ani mocher l'cha, I'm selling to you, mishamnim b'neim. You assess the property and you divide it. V'notel chetzia b'darom. You take half of my southern property. V'hu mekabel ala makom ageder. He takes upon himself the makom ageder. There's a machlokas. Who's the makabel here? According to the Rashbam, it's the mocher. I'll read the Mishnah, then I'll read the Rashbam in a second. So the Mochid Makabel, the Makma Geder, the place of the fence, and the Charetz and the Ben Charetz, there were these little ditches that were next to the fence. We'll see in the end of the Gemara, that's supposed to be a little buffer so the animals don't jump on top and over the fence. So that Makma of the fence, and the ditch, and the Ben Charetz in a smaller ditch, that's all the responsibility of Alav. So who's the Makabel Alav? Who takes upon this area? So look at the Rashbam. Rashbam says, the Makabel Alav around 8 wide lines down, Makabel Alav Mocher, Lasaitz Mechetzia Sadehu, Mokum Ageder Ligdorze Haloke Chatzi Sadehu Mikol Tzad, Mibnei Achayo Shalo Yichansu Letocho. That I give you half the field, and in addition to half the field, I'm giving you a few other inches on my property, says the Mocher, to build your fence and the ditches. Why? Because the stam mocher chetzi sadeh, mocher lo kol tzarchei sadeh. I'm selling you the half a field along with all the necessary things to help maintain the field. Aval heicha, says the Rashbam, dam mocher lo sadeh shalem. Why say I'm selling you an entire field? Hasam milsad v'shita hi shemocher lo eskulo umashi yosef litein lo yoser. I'm giving you an entire field. I'm not including the fence. If you want all my property, the fence line and everything else, that you need to pay extra for. So that's the Chiddush Rashbam of the intention of a mocher selling half a field versus a full field. Other Rishonim say, no, this is a lokeach, has to take the fence. When I say half the field, you want a fence and a ditch, that needs to go on your property as a lokeach, because Yad lokeach is always al tachtona. That's how the other Rishonim argue on the Rashbam. So then the Mishnah finishes off saying, the Kamahu Charet, how big is this ditch? Says the Mishnah, Shisha Tvachim, it's 6 Tvachim wide along the entire perimeter of the fence. And Ben Charet, Shosha, and then there's a small ditch, which is 3 Tvachim, which the Gemara is going to explain. So there's 3 Tvachim, and then 6 Tvachim as a little buffer, which is in front of the fence. So the Gemara now says, Amr Bichir Bar Abba, Amr Biyochanan, Lokeach, Notel Chushibo. The buyer, the one who's receiving the property, half the field, gets the weaker amount. So Amar Le Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Le Rabbi Yochanan V'Hanan Meshamnim B'nei Antanan. We say it's equal. Meshamnim means it's going to be split in half. So it's not fair that he's getting a 20% value. I'm getting 80% value. It should be 50-50. So Amar Le. So look at this response. Ad Achlis Kafniyasa B'Bavel. So what does that mean? Rashbam says Ad Achlis Kafniyasa Tamar B'Bavel. From you eating all the dates in Bavel. And Shiyisa Ma'adin Atzmecha, that you're busy enjoying yourself so much with all these delicacies. La Yisa Osik, but you're not involved in learning. So Mikantaro Bihaya, he's insulting him. You don't know anything. And this is one of the many Gemaras we have throughout Shas where they would really insult the people, the Talmidei Chacham from Bavel. So the answer is Targumina Meseifa. Look at your answer is your understanding is from the Seifa. What's in the Seifa? The Katani Seifa. Chet Bedarum, giving you half of my southern property. Ani mochelcha mishamnin benein v'notel chet Bedarum. We're going to assess the value, and I'll give you half of it. Why am I assessing it? Didn't I say half the south? So why am I assessing it? So it means what's going on here is the Rashbam explains all this is that no, of course we're splitting the value 50-50. Now which 50 are you getting? So that we're saying I could pick which 50. You're going to get the weaker 50%. The overall value is going to be 50%. It's going to be $500,000. I'm getting $500,000. But you're getting $500,000 that's over the swampy area. I'm getting $500,000 that's going to be the nice area, the rich dirt that could grow things. And that's the difference.
The Dharam, what are you doing in the Dharam?
I say to you, the Dharam, I don't want to sell all my properties. I've got one property in the Dharam. I'll sell you half of that property in the south.
So what's Meshamnim there?
We assess how much that property in the south is worth. It's worth $1 million. Okay. So I'll take half, and you'll take half, and then I'll give you whichever half of the south that I want to give you of the south. I saw in the back, one of the Achronim asked why the Dharam, why that they chose the Dharam. Because apparently the way the sun goes, it's going to make the southern property the best among all the properties. So that's a very likely property he'd be giving away to someone else. He'd make a good deal off of it selling it. Okay, let's finish off the Perek. The Gemara now says...
So he doesn't have to give him from the south. He can give him any parties away.
No. In the second half of the... When I say the Dharam, it has to be in the Dharam. But of the southern property, I could give any part of that southern property. I can't give you in the north. The ratio of the Mishnah is, I'm giving you this Sadeh, I'm giving you half of the Sadeh. The Dharam is, I'm giving you half of the southern Sadeh. It's an unnecessary case, really. In the Dharam. If you look at the Rashbam, it's in the Dharam.
Here it doesn't say it. Okay.
Yeah. But in the Rashbam clearly says Sheba Dharam. Uh-huh. Look at the Rashbam three lines up from the bottom. It says Ein Shaman, the last like eight words in the middle of the line there. El Shaman Kol Asada El Chetz Shebedarom Hein Chush Hein Yafe. Ma Sheshave Chetz Shebedarom Nosin Mochel Lokech connected Osin Adamim Beeza Hu Ruach Sheyirta of the Darom. He gives Dainu Chush.
Why?
Because that was the deal we made. I said I'm giving you Chetz Shebedarom, so I have to give you half of a southern property. Now, of that southern property, it could be a weaker or a stronger property. I decide what I want to give you, but it has to be Bedarim, since that's what I specified. And he wants the Darim.
No, wait, this is... keep on reading.
Dialokech al tachtona. The Dilma zeh shamar shchetze shibedarim, shumas chetze shibedarim kamar v'lo chetze shibedarim mamish, hu shemachalo, kenir beinai.
Right. It would seem that he's not really saying that he's giving it from the Darim. He's just saying, listen, I'm going to give you a property that's worth like the Darim.
So that's what you would think. You would think, Dilma, perhaps you would say that Dami means it's similar to the assessment of the Darim, but give me anywhere else. The Kamashmon is that, no, I want a property that's mamish in the Darim. That's all the Dilma. You would have thought maybe he doesn't mamish want the Darim. Kamashmon, he does mamish want the Darim. Let's finish off the parak quickly. The Gemara says, Mekabel alav, the last two lines of Kuf Zayinim Abayz, Mekabel alav Malkum Geder, said Tana, Charetz Mibichutz, the Charetz is on the outside, Uben Charetz Mibifnim. Vizeveze Achre Geder. So what's going on here is the outer one. They have a picture in the art school. I wonder if they do. There's the outer ditch. It's the six tefachim ditch, and then the inner one's three tefachim. So it's six, and then it's three, and there's a little space. What's the reason for this? Says the Gemara on the top of Kufches Kidei, in order that the my page got stuck here. Kidei shelotei chaya kofetetz, so the animal shouldn't jump. So if I've got, you know, if there's a flat land, it's going to jump over the fence. If I've got six tefachim here, so the animal's going to go in the ditch and then jump from that ditch on top of it. So what I do is I have 6 inches of ditch here, then a little land here, then a 3-inch space here. So if the animal tried jumping 9 inches, it can't jump the 9 tefachim all the way over the fence. Now if it goes into the ditch, which is 6, so now it's too low down to get over that hump because it still has to overcome the 3 tefachim small ditch. So this again was a buffer. So the Gemara says, V'laved charetz v'lo laved ben charetz. Why do you need a ben charetz? Just make a 6 tefachim ditch right in front of the fence, and the animal can't jump over that. So the Gemara says, "I did the ravich kaima begavei v'kapsa." Since you have 6 tefachim wide, is the ditch? So I'll step in the ditch and jump from the ditch over the fence.
Isn't the Gemara asking why you make a 9 tefach ditch? Is that what the Gemara is asking?
Either one, it could say 9 or 6 tefach. It could be 9 tefach. Maybe make it all extended like that, which I guess gives more room for the animal, but it doesn't help because the animal will just climb up to the tip of the ditch here, where you can stand nicely, and then jump over it. So then the Gemara says, the kofs, again, lavid charetz v'lo lavid ben charetz, I did the ravich, since it's so wide, kaima begavei is going to stand in this ditch, and kofs is going to jump over the fence. So then the Gemara says, lavid ben charetz, so just make a 3 tefachim one only, where you can't step inside, it's too narrow for the animal to step inside, v'lo lavid charetz, and what's the need for the 6 tefachim ditch as well? So I did the katan, since 3 tefachim is so narrow, Kaimash Fasa is going to stand on the edge of the ditch, and Kafta is going to be close enough to jump over the 3 tefachim leap, and then over the fence as well. So therefore, you have to have both the charetz and the ben charetz. Kama ben charetz, the ben charetz, tafach. So the way it works is, you have the 6 tefachim ditch on the outside, and then you have a flat land of 1 tefach, and then you have another 3 tefachim ditch this way, and then there's a fence. And that way to protect from any animals trying to climb over, and that's the responsibility of either the lokeach or the mocha, that's machlokes, hajin alach, base core.